This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
So, as I said, we're starting with a series on James. James is a good book to read, isn't it? Who of you have read the book of James? That's good. That's good. Sometimes you're like, what is he talking about? Where is he going with this? And all of that. But it really, it convicts. It speaks straight to the heart. And I'm not just, or we're not just going to do a series on James because I thought it's a good idea or I thought the church needs to have some discipline or anything like that, please. But really because I felt the Lord said, we're going to speak about James. And like me always, I didn't know that the first part is about trials and our faith being tested. So when I got there, I was like, wow, Lord, this is so appropriate. Thank you so much for not only speaking to us, but also to me. I don't know if this is the right place. Is that okay? I'm going to put it there. Okay, great. So let me give you some background on James. For those of you who don't know, James was the half-brother of Jesus. Okay, so he actually grew up with Jesus. That's quite cool, isn't it? They probably had some fights. Don't believe Jesus sinned, so it was never his fault. And also, you know, when Jesus started doing all the miracles and all of that, they said, his brothers actually said, what are you doing? You know, you're making a joke of yourself and all of that. So James actually didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah before Jesus rose from the dead. Okay. But you can read in 1 Corinthians, the English also always get me there, 1 Corinthians, you know, that he actually said, James believed when he saw that Jesus was rose from the dead. Now that is crazy. I mean, if you get Jesus' half-brother to know that he is the Messiah, you know, that we can use in a fight against someone who don't believe, isn't it? Because James saw, oh my hat, my brother was rose from the dead. He truly is the Messiah. I saw him. Okay, so this James wrote a letter. He became the head elder, or like we would say today, the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. Okay? You go read that in Acts. So the church was like growing. They were added to them like 3,000 and whatever and so on. So they grew quite quickly. But then what happened in Acts is that Simon got stoned. Okay, do you know that story? That's where we read the first time of Saul, who became Paul, and he was actually saying, yes, you can stone Simon. Is it Simon? Stephen, sorry. No, you don't even help me or correct me. Stephen got stoned. Okay, not stoned, anyways. Okay, so they stoned Stephen, and then what happened after that? The church got persecuted, right? So all of a sudden, they're like, oh, we're going to kill all these people who think they're Christians, or they weren't called Christians yet, but, you know, saying that Jesus is alive and he's the Messiah because we don't believe it, and so on. And the church, like, went in all different directions. Okay. So that's where we pick up with James. Okay. So we're going to read from James 1, verse 1. Okay. James, a servant. Okay, great. So now what I did here is I underlined some things, that I don't forget it, but also that's how I read the word, okay? So if you read the word and you're like, servant, why is he saying servant? He's a half-brother, you know? James is a half-brother of Jesus. So if it was me, I would have started my letter like this. Marichen, the half-sister of Jesus, who grew up with Jesus and knows him so well, you better listen to me, you know, type of thing. Isn't that how we are these days? I've got these qualifications, so that's why you should listen to me. Now he says, James, a servant of God. He doesn't even count it as anything that he was the half-brother of Jesus. To him, he's like, I'm a servant. I serve Christ, you know. That's why I will go through all these things, because he's my Lord. Okay, so you get that. Of God and to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Okay, so you hear, we said they got scattered among the nations. He said, greetings. Consider it pure joy. I should have underlined that also. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, in other words, not if you face trials, it's when you face trials, and also of many kinds. So today, if we speak about trials, it's not just, you know, if you're persecuted for your faith. It's not just when you have cancer. It's not just any kind of trials that you're going through, okay? Because you know that the testing of your faith, we'll get to that, produces perseverance. Other translations say it's steadfastness. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, and complete. What a beautiful picture. Not lacking anything. I should have underlined everything. Okay, next slide. Thanks, Stephen. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. We can do a sermon just on that verse, isn't it? Like, actually, we can do a sermon on every verse we've read so far. Okay, but today I'm going to concentrate on what I feel God is telling to us today. But just for you to see that this wisdom, he's speaking when in trials. Okay, so when you're in trials, God says, ask me. Don't suffer alone. Huh? I'm a Christian, I must just know what I must do and I must go on. And no, God's like, hello, ask me for wisdom. You know, I'm here, I'm your God, I care, okay? But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. You can see that picture. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. It changed quite quickly, isn't it? We'll get back to that also. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. I don't think any one of us here want to be unstable in all we do, right? So that's also why I underline it. I'm like, unstable, and I don't want that. So how do I keep away from that? Okay, next slide. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. It blossoms, falls, and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Okay, so if you're like me, when you read those verses, you're like, don't understand, it just goes to the next ones, isn't it? Or am I the only one? If I don't understand it, I'm just like, no idea what that means, just this, you know, skip, whatever. Okay, but now when you look at that, actually what he's saying is, hey guys, if you have a lot of money, don't boast in that. Okay, don't boast in your money. Boast in the fact that you could not save yourself, but Jesus did. You know, in that humble place where you can't buy it. In other words, he says, don't boast in that. And the poor shouldn't boast, or not boast. What did they say about the poor? Circumstances or to pride in the opposition, but the rich should take pride in the relations, since they were. For the sun rises, they don't speak about the poor yet. Next line. Okay. Blessed is the one. We'll get to the poor guys. They just went away now. Okay. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, again, we get to that test thing, no? That person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those, and I should have underlined that also, who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. In other words, this is going difficult. It's God's fault. He's putting these things on me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Last slide, I think. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Okay, so now we just read through it and we learned something already, isn't it? So I want to encourage you, when you read the word, just start like, what is that word? Why does he put it in there? Or why did he say whenever? And not if, you know, because sometimes we just read, I did my part for this morning, you know, and that's good, we should. I mean, you don't always eat and think, oh, what am I eating now? And is it all these pieces? And how is it going to be working in my stomach? No, you just eat sometimes, you know? But other times, you're like, wow, this tastes. My husband is good with that. This has this in, and it has that in, and it, you know? And then you really have to get the picture. I don't know if it was a good illustration, but it seems like you're understanding me. Okay, good. So from this piece, I was like, Lord, what are you saying to us? Okay, because many times we can also read the word and we're just like, yeah, I must do this and this and this, but then it's not what the Lord is saying to you. Lord, you gave us this piece of scripture for now. What are you saying to us? And the first word that stood out for me was persevere. God is saying persevere. Persevere. How do we get to perseverance? Unfortunately, perseverance doesn't grow in us or happen in us when it's going well, right? You know, if I do the comrades, do I have to persevere? Yes. If I walk to my car, do I have to persevere? No ways, you know. Unfortunately, perseverance doesn't come in the easy things in life. God says there's going to be trials. It's going to test your faith. And that testing of your faith is going to lead to perseverance. So what do we want? We want easy lives. You know, when it's going difficult, we pray, Lord, take it away, take it away, take it away, take it away. Lord saying, my dear child, you cannot mature if you don't go through these things. I heard the story, it was a woman, she was a secretary at the church, and she actually had a stroke. Just after that, her husband got blind for no reason, and then he got admitted to the hospital. So, you know, it's not your lack of story, it's tough times. So the pastor sees us, he said, hey, dear sister, you know, how are you doing and all of that, and I'm praying for you. And she said, okay, thank you, pastor, what are you praying? You know, and he said, well, I'm praying for strength and protection and so on. And she said, pray that I will not miss what God is doing in my life now. And he said, he looked at her and he was like, this woman understands James 1 verse 5. That through perseverance comes maturity. Okay, so 2 weeks ago we had intercession. We pray for the church. We pray for Durban because we love Durban and the people of Durban. And we worship, and as we closed and we're just about to pray, I saw this picture. So because God speaks to us through pictures, right? Sometimes he shows us things so that we'll better understand or hear him and the Holy Spirit can talk to us. So this picture was a warrior, okay? You all know warriors. We don't see warriors anymore, but it's a typical Roman picture of the Roman warrior or soldier in those days. And this warrior, it wasn't a man or a woman. I couldn't see it. I didn't see the face. I just knew it was a warrior. It was tired, okay? It was actually like on its knees, had this big sword in his hands or her hands, and like standing like that, and this breastplate was standing out to me. Like the breastplate that they used to put on wasn't just in front, it was at the back, and it was covering all the vital organs, okay? Immediately I was like, I felt so sorry, I almost want to say, for this warrior, because the breastplate was like cutting into the skin here. I could see that this soldier has been fighting for a very long time. You know, they've been in battle for quite a while. And immediately what I wanted to pray was like, let's take it off, Lord. Like, this person needs some rest, you know. I wanted to pray out of my own thing. Like, yes, the Lord wants to take it off, you know. You know how we get, like, we somewhere, God shows us something and we want to do the rest. And as I wanted to start praying that, the Lord actually said to me, no. Don't take it off. It's not finished yet. You know, it's not finished yet. Whatever this warrior is doing, whatever they're going through, the fight's not finished yet. I was like, whoa, that was close. Okay, so I actually thought it was for someone there at intercession. But then this week, someone phoned me and they said, in our church, but she's not here today, and she said to me, listen here, I saw this vision. And this vision was of warriors. They're like, yeah, having a good time, but they all took their breastplates off. And she felt the Lord said, now you're vulnerable. Put it on. It's not done yet. So today, guys, I want to say God is speaking to us about perseverance. He's saying, don't take that breastplate off. Don't take it off, okay? What is a breastplate? When we read Ephesians 6, verse something, it's in the slide somewhere, sorry, Stephen. Actually, I also have a Bible in my hand. Okay, so we know the armor of God now. So it says in verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. So a breastplate of righteousness. So what I understand the Lord is communicating to us is that in perseverance, we tend to somewhere be like, walk away from our righteousness in Christ. Okay? Do we get our righteousness in Christ from our own? No. Jesus. Because of Jesus, we are righteous in Christ. In God, you know? But also, we can choose to walk in righteousness. Okay? So we get righteousness to Christ, but we also choose to walk righteous. What does righteousness mean? It basically means being in right standing with God. In other words, being obedient and following His word. Okay? God is saying to us, guys, if you're going through a trial, if it gets difficult, don't compromise on your faith. Don't now be like, I am tired. I'm just going to take this righteousness off. Tonight, I'm watching a dirty movie. Huh? Or something like that. I can't think of examples now. You know, or I'm tired of this boss thing giving me so much. I'm just going to say something back. Or I'm just going to lie about that thing. God is saying, no, don't when it get tough. Start to go the other way. Persevere. Why? Because I'm busy. I'm helping you. And I'm doing something in you that you don't understand now. But trust me, it leads to maturity. It leads to maturity in Christ. He's doing something in you. When I was 20, I didn't understand this. I was like, yo, I'm going to slay all the giants and I'm going to break their legs and pray in Jesus' name and nothing can come against me, you know, and all those kind of things. And then I'm not that old now, just saying. But through the years, I've learned that your life gets tough, where? And sometimes you're like, why is this giant not dying? I've prayed all the prayers. I've fasted all the fast. I've attended all the worship services. I've done all the encounters, you know. I've done whatever, and this giant doesn't want to fall. It's a battle sometimes, and God says, yes, my dear. Some giants are going to fall. Don't get worried now. I've seen giants fall like this, boom. But sometimes we're going to have to walk through things so that God can do a mighty work in us. If you look at these old guys, they've walked with God forever. They've got so much wisdom. They are not tossed around by any little thing someone says. They're just like, oh, bless that person. You know? Does it make sense? Tenji, are you with me? Good. Okay, then the second point. Oh, just want to show you this. Okay? So in Luke 8, verse 13. This is now where Jesus was talking about the parable of the sower with the seeds. Oh, where am I going? Okay, there it is. And this part was thrown, the seeds were thrown on the rocky ground. Okay, but what happened? Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word, that is the word of God, the gospel, with joy when they heard it, but they have no root. Okay, that's important. They believe for a while, But in the time of testing, they fall away. And for me, that is when we remove that breastplate. We're like, oh, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. You're just making this stuff for me. I don't care anymore. I'm leaving. And I say it happens in the time of testing. Okay, do you see that? Good. So the second thing I feel God is saying to us today, He says, keep seeking God for wisdom. Okay, so we said that. Keep seeking God for wisdom. He says, if you don't know what to do, ask me. Okay, when we are in a trial, now listen to this. When we are in a trial, there's two fights that we fight. There's two fights according to James. Okay, there's other fights also might now for James and for us today. One fight is doubt. It comes all the time. It's like, Lord, what are you doing? Is this really you? Why isn't this going the way I want it to? Are you still there? Do you still care for me? Do you still love me? Why don't I have this? Why hasn't this happened? Now, if you've been through things that my friends have been through, why did my child die? Why did my child drown? Why did these things happen? Why did this not work? Why did this thing collapse? Why did my business collapse? You know, why is my family falling apart? What is happening? The doubts start. I doubt every day. Do some of you doubt? Okay, I feel better. I'm joking. Doubts come. It's going to come. It's not going to stay away. The enemy's not going to be, and I always say this, it's not going to be like, Shane Pumla, you're going through a tough time. As the enemy, I won't bother you now. Okay. No, of course. The enemy's going to come. It's going to be like, oh, you're going through a tough time. Ha ha, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you. Definitely. Okay? You think that are tough now, but now I'm going to bring those doubts. Now you're going to believe, no, why do we serve a God who says he's good, but let bad things happen to us? Huh? That comes with to us. That's the questions people ask. And God says, it's going to come, but fight it. Fight it. Okay? It's going to come. It's going to come. How do we fight it? Find it with the word. Okay? I'm telling you now, and the testimony. I'm telling you, if I didn't have this word, when I was 20, I didn't understand what this word means because I haven't gone through life yet. But when you realize that you have nothing, this word becomes real bread. And it fills you. And you're like, Lord, I need it every morning. And you realize if you didn't read that morning, you are stuffed. You know, because you're like, I didn't get the word in me. I need that word. We fight it through the word, but guys, we also fight it together by being honest what's going on in our lives, by asking people for prayer, for having accountability, for walking together. Okay, you must say, you know, if I'm doubting what God is doing, don't not say it thinking people are going to be like, you bad Christian, you know, because we sometimes think that. We think like, no, I can't tell anyone because they're going to be like, think I'm the worst Christian ever. No, ask that we can pray together, that we can stand in faith together. What happened to those guys that brought their lame guy to Jesus, friend to Jesus, sorry, and they said their faith healed him. We can stand together for someone who he doesn't have the strength. That is why we're community. That is why we are church. Okay? So that we fight together. Please don't fight your battles on your own. Okay? A few years ago, this is when my life started. I could see, okay, it's not always sunshine and moon and roses and all those kind of things I can't remember now. But my family was just falling apart. And God said, I decided, okay, the only thing I know that I can do, because in the natural, I can't do anything to fix this. I can't fix it, you know. But in the spiritual, I know that I can pray. And I remember when I was a student, I used to read in Bible school Dutch Sheets intercessory prayer. And I remember that he taught the people how to pray. And I was like, I can't remember what they said. So I bought the CD and the DVD, and it was so old. But anyways, I sat that whole Sunday afternoon and I watched that DVD because I was like, I am going to pray for my family. You know, I'm going to stand in the faith and what. The first morning I prayed, I felt so proud of myself that I did it. And then by the end of the time, God said to me, pray with a friend. And I've told no one what's been happening in my family. I was just fighting this all on my own. I went to my friend and I said, listen here, the whole story, will you pray with me? She's like, sure. So we got up every morning early to pray for my family. That first morning when she said amen to something that I was praying, I could literally feel the power in our prayers. I could literally feel it. We're not made to fight this on our own. Okay, great. Let's see if I'm getting that. Then the second fight. Now, we don't always think about this one, but the second fight we fight in times of trials is comparison. Okay? It's going bad with me now. What do I see? Where I got this was from a preacher, so I don't think I'm so good at this. Okay, just saying. I did a lot of research this week about this stuff, and whatever stood out, I knew God was saying to us. But what this guy actually also said is he said, whoever you are on Instagram, it's not a sin, just saying, I'm also on Instagram, okay? Instagram equals depression. This is a study that they've done, not in the church. What do you call it, my love? A what study?
Secular
world. A secular study that showed that Instagram equals depression. Why? Because you see, wow, they're doing so well. You know? Lord, I've been like serving you all my life. Now this friend that never served you, out of school now, they're having this mansion of a house. You know, what are you doing? And we get depressed. And we get to say, ah, I can't believe that friend. And do you know what that character is like? And you know, we get lelik, ugly with our words. We start speaking about people negatively because we're like, why do they do that? And I can't believe this and this and this. Comparison. Comparison, we have to fight against it. Okay? So just so we all know, it's going to come. So for us, our church is quite small at the moment, right? It's not going to stay like that. God is doing something in our hearts. He is doing a mighty work in our hearts. He's laying the foundations. He's doing things. But if we're going to be like, oh, look at those ones, we're going to feel like fools, right? I mean, if I'm here with the guitar and I'm like, there can be 10 more people. Oh, what am I doing? Poor me. Then am I going to fight, be able to fight this battle? No ways. I must think of what is God busy doing? What is he saying to me? How must I run this race? Right? Do you get that? You all still awake? Is it only me getting hot? Or is it really getting hot in here? We have an air con. Shall we put it on standby for now? Okay. Then Luke 8, verse 14. So this is the next verse after that one. It says, the seed that fell among the thorns, okay, doorings, stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Okay? So, we compare, we're like, I also want that, actually. I'm going to go for that. Just by the way, when he spoke about being tossed, you know, around like the sea, you know, because you doubt, it's not that doubt that we're talking about, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. It's not that type of doubt. It's the doubt where we're like, I'm going to have my backup plan here. You know, I have God, but then I also have my ancestors. You know, so he's like, you're double-minded. You say you believe, but now you're also holding on to this thing. You know? Or you say you believe that God is going to heal my marriage, but now you're looking for a good procureur lawyer so that you will fight the battle. That's double-mindedness. You know, then you're doubting God. Then you're not walking in what... And what does it say? It says that... It just like left me right there. God is faithful. He's like, Merchen will have a very short memory. Okay, it says that they will be unstable in all they do. Yo, that's hectic, you know? And just think, if you have so many plans, you know, in tough times, do you feel stable? No ways. It's this thing, and then it's that thing, and I'm going to try that thing, and it's like, dear my God, and nothing's working. Unstable in all they do. Okay, guys, I'm almost finished. Don't worry. There was this lady in the French Huguenot. So I'm a French Huguenot, for those of you who don't know. My ancestors came from wherever. So what happened is they were starting to persecute the Christians. There was this one lady, and they said to her, okay, all we want you to do is to say that Jesus does not exist. Just say it. That's all you need to do. Just say it. You don't believe in Jesus, he doesn't exist. You can say anything about God or whoever, but you're not allowed to say, or you actually should say, Jesus does not exist. Do you know what she said? She said, no way. No way am I going to do that. What did they do to her? They lock her up with all her friends in a tower for 35 years. When they found the tower or whatever, in it, they wrote on the walls one word, resist, 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 resist. When I read that story, I was like, sure, Lord, I wonder how long I would last in a tower. Things will come to me like, there's so many unsaved people out there. I can just say this one thing and go save the rest. Huh? Sometimes we manipulate our thoughts like that or think like, yeah, I did the wrong thing now, but actually it's going to help that person. I do it, okay? No, this lady sat in the tower for 35 years and they did not give in. Yo, that's a trial if you want one. I don't even know if they had children, if they saw them again, their family, all those kind of things. Okay, good. Guys, we can do it. God is saying, I'm strengthening you. I'm putting my Holy Spirit in you so you don't have to do it alone. Okay, last point. Sorry. My love for God is the key in my trials. My love for God is the key in my trials. We read this in James 1 verse 12. It said, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Who love him. I've told the story so many times, but when I moved to Durban, I realized I've been in church, I've served, I've been in ministries, I've done so many things, but did I really love Jesus? Did I really love him? Do you know how I find out if I really love him? Is walking through trials. You know? Thinking, okay, Lord, no matter what, no matter what, I want to love you. I want to serve you. I want to see your kingdom come. The love for God. What does Jesus say? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me. Does he say, yes, because I am king, you will keep my commandments? No, he says, if you love me, you will. You want to. Because I didn't know if I love God, I said to him, Jesus, I don't know if I love you. I think sometimes we're afraid to speak to God like that. We're like, no, a Christian mustn't say things like that to God, you know. What if he zapped me or something, you know? But no, he says, I said to God, Lord, I don't know if I love you. Help me. Help me to love you. The other question I asked myself, Lord, I don't know if I love the lost people out there in Durban. Now I've got it around my neck. I can't see it now because it's going to interfere. But, you know, Durban, like, I said, Lord, I don't know if I love the lost people of Durban. Help me. I'm telling you, he's faithful. So faithful to answer our prayers if we come to him just as we are, not pretending to be anything. Okay, good. So, some good news. Yay! Okay, Revelation 3. Actually, this is all good news, by the way. So, now we got John. Okay, now John was one of Jesus' disciples, beloved man. We really love Jesus, and now he's writing this letter to the church in Philadelphia. And this is more personal. I feel this is for us as a church, and also for some individuals here. A word for us. So it says, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. Now, especially this verse. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. How beautiful is that? Huh? I know you have little strength, but you have kept my word and you have not denied my name. That makes me think of that lady in the tower, right? Little strength, but I've kept your word and I've not denied your name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. And again now, 10. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently. To endure patiently. I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come in the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. Beautiful, isn't it? Endure patiently. I say to you today that the Lord sees and He knows and He loves. And guys, if you're going through something difficult, it's not because God is taking out the whip and He's, you know, giving us hidings. Does He discipline us? Definitely. But we're not going to feel like we want to run away from Him. Trials will come so that we can persevere. Our faith will be tested. If it's not tested, how will we know if we really have faith? Okay? But He says, my dear children, because you have not denied my name, because you have kept my word, because you have endured patiently, I am with you and I will show it to you and I will come and do a work in you. But remember, don't take off the breastplate. Okay? It gets tough. Okay? That picture I saw was like, hey, nah, it's sore, you know? It's almost that that thing is part of the skin or whatever. But don't take it off yet. God's like, the fight's not finished yet. Okay? You all with me? Okay, let's close our eyes.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.